Well, you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Just like to read a couple of verses there. If you're feeling cold down the back, come up the front. It is stinking hot. Are you hot, Francie? You're just nice. That's a blow. I was hoping you were saying you were hot so I could open that window. Anyway, if you're cold, just come down the front. You'll be very warm. How about we pray? Lord, we give you thanks for the day. And thank you for this place where we can come and rejoice in you and spend time around your word. I pray that you will be with us this morning, ministering to our souls as you see fit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just going to read the first two verses of Psalm 1. Very familiar verses. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And these two verses are very well known, and there's plenty of instruction that we can gain from them. But what I want to point out this morning, first of all, is we discover that there are two major influences in our life, or there can be two major influences in our life, and that is people and the Word of God. Verse 2 tells us that if we delight in the law of the Lord, well, then we're going to be able to grow in the Lord and enjoy blessings from Him. And if we surround ourselves with God's Word, that's going to help us in times of struggle, where if you read on, we're going to be like that tree planted beside the river, and we're going to be able to enjoy that help from God above. And so God's Word can be a major influence on our life. But verse 1 actually warns us of the negative influence that some people can have on us and how they can influence us in a bad way. But realistically, the opposite can be said as well, where if they are godly people, well, then they can influence us in the things of God as well. So God's Word and the people we surround ourselves can and do have a major influence on us. And I'm sure you would agree with me that you spend far more time with people than you actually spend in God's Word. It'd be nice if we could just read God's Word all the time, but that's not how life is. And for the majority of our time, we are surrounded by people more than God's Word. And that's why it's so important that we have friends that are going to help do the work of God in our life and not hinder us. And the people we choose to spend time with must be the type of people that influence us and build on the Word of God that we have take place in our life. Question I'd like to just start with this morning is, when you consider the friends that you have, the people that you choose to spend time with, would you call them ungodly or godly? Would you refer to them as sinners or saved? Or maybe even getting closer, scornful, that is someone who despises the things of God, is negative to the things of God, or are they encouraging in the things of God? Because the friends you have and the company you keep will have a major influence on you, where it can even hinder the work that God's Word wants to do in our life. You know, over in Proverbs 27 verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And we see here that a good friend is going to sharpen you in the things of God. And I would imagine most of us have seen the butcher at some time, with his nice sharp knife and then that other piece of metal, or he might have two sharp knives, and how they put it together, and that process of iron sharpening iron makes them what they should be and be able to used by that man. And that's what a good friend is, or that's how you distinguish if someone is a good friend or not, if they sharpen you in the things of God, make you want to serve the Lord, make you want to love the Lord, make you want to be where the Lord wants you to be. And we all need friends like this. We all need friends who are going to encourage us to do what's right. We don't want friends that are going to make us blunt. If you take one of those sharp knives of the butcher and then you start rubbing it against a brick, it's going to probably cut into that brick for a little while, but it's not going to be long before that knife becomes very blunt, and it will be of no use to the butcher any longer in the state that it's in. You see, a knife and a brick coming together constantly is only going to have a negative effect on that knife. And sadly, that's how some friends are. When you constantly, or some people I should say, if you constantly come together with them, it's just going to have that blunting effect upon your life, where the more you spend time with them, the less you want to grow as a Christian, the less you want to serve the Lord, the less you want to be where God wants you to be, the less encouraged in the Lord you are. And if a person is like that, well, then you need to find better friends. Friends that are going to be like that other piece of metal. And I know over the years I've had friends who have truly encouraged me in the things of God. They've taken me aside when I wasn't quite walking with the Lord, and they were an encouragement to serve the Lord. Others, when I did want to seek the Lord, but they were just that boost. When I went away, I felt sharpened and felt like I wanted to serve the Lord more when I was around them. They are the real friends that I have in this life. I've had other friends that whenever I was around them, I felt less inclined to do what God wanted me to do. I felt discouraged after being with them. Felt negative about people and about the Lord, about the church, about lots of things. And I realized if they want to go that way and they don't want to change, there comes a time when I have to let those friends go and spend time with those that will be an encouragement. And if you want to do what the Lord wants and you want to grow, well, then understand that it's just not God's word that you need. It is also surrounding yourself with the right type of friends, because the friends that you keep can ruin all the work that God's word wants to do in your life. Now, the reality is, when you try and work out, well, who should be my close friends? We can all quite easily understand or work out that the friends at work or the people at work are going to fit into that category of being ungodly and sinners and scorners. Those ones that you may have contact with on the sports field or maybe various things in the community, most of them don't love the Lord. And they should be people who you are friendly towards, so that you can witness and be a testimony of Christ to them. But they shouldn't be your companions in life. But we all know too well that it's not just the unsaved that can often blunt us. Even believers in the local church can have the same blunting influence and hinder us in the walk of the Lord. Even though the local church should be a place where believers come together and they show the love of Christ, we encourage each other together after we've spent a week rubbing shoulders with the unsaved and feeling blunt, we should be able to come here and be encouraged by one another. That's how it should be. You know, the Lord Jesus made it very clear. It was a commandment that we love one another. as he has loved us. That's the model. And he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. We should be able to show the world how true friendship is. That's what Christ is saying. The world doesn't have the living God dwelling within them to show and help them to be true friends. But you have that. And people should be able to come into where you are together and see true friendship and say, this must be of God. And that's what God is expecting of us. Not just wishing of us, expecting. If it's not here, well then there's a problem. God's not happy with us. And I suspect I could spend all our morning convincing us to shy away from those who are going to blunt us. But instead I'd rather look at it as another way, and that is concentrate more on being a good friend. You see, Proverbs tells us that for a man to have friends, he must show himself to be friendly. If you want to have godly friends, you've got to be godly yourself. And if you feel as though you don't have very many friends, maybe they're shying away from you because all you do is blunt them. But maybe it comes time to working out what is a good friend. Am I a good friend? Are there ways I need to change so I can be a good friend to others here? So then we can be friends in the way Christ wants. You know, the first thing in being a good friend, we've already looked at. And that is, you should be somebody who sharpens others rather than blunt them. It's not just a matter of avoiding those who blunt you. You should be in the business of sharpening others. Can I ask you, when people come around and you spend time with them, are you positive? Are you encouraging? Do you talk about the Lord? Do you encourage them in the Lord? Or do you dump all your frustrations on them and about other people? Do you tell them all the negative things you know about people or you feel about people? Are you down on everything and people go away feeling miserable? Or are you someone who sharpens others when they're in your presence? If someone goes away depressed after spending time with you because they've heard about how miserable life is, that's not a good friend. If they go away angry after spending time with you because you've told them all the bad things about everyone and now they're angry like you are, that's not a good friend. You should be someone who sharpens others. And if you learn to sharpen others, you'll find that people want to spend more time with you. You know, you think of someone, oh, if I go there, I'm going to have to listen to them moan and complain and how miserable life is, and I'm going to have to hear about every one of their aches and pains that they have and how everything's been bad in their life, and, oh, am I really up to that today? But if you know there's someone who says, I'm going to go away feeling better after being with this person, it makes it so more encouraging to be with them and want to be with them. Be someone that's going to sharpen others when they're with you. For the other things that we see in regards to being a good friend, I want you to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 18. I want to look at a man that I believe was one of the best friends that you could ever have in your life. And David had him as his friend. His name was Jonathan. You want to learn what a good friend is like? Well then, study the life of Jonathan. My brothers called David Jonathan. They named him after the two friends. And I think that's a good combination. David Jonathan. And we can learn a lot about being a good friend here. It says there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We see here that when these two young men met, their hearts knitted together. There was something there where they just clicked. And that's wonderful when that happens. There are some people you just meet, and before you know it, you've just clicked with them. Now, that doesn't happen a real lot, so don't get discouraged. I can think of that happening maybe two or three times in my life. Generally, when it comes to friendships, you can be knitted together, but I guess it just depends on who's knitting. If my mum was knitting, it'd be fast. If I was knitting, it could take quite a while before you get knitted together, all right? But sometimes it takes a while for those friendships to really be knitted together. But it's wonderful when you have friendship like this. And it's something that God wants us to enjoy when we can. Thing is about these two men, they were truly the odd couple at the beginning. When you consider Jonathan was the son of the king, he was the next in line to reign over Israel. He was the one who was rich, he lived in the palace, he had the servants, he was well known. He would walk down the street and everyone would say, "That's Jonathan, he's going to be our next king." He was the one up there when it comes to the status in life. And then we have David. David was from a very poor tribe, very poor family. He was actually the youngest in the family. So you don't get much recognition in those days, particularly when you're the youngest. He was the one who was out in the Never Never Lands being the shepherd. He wasn't known that very well until he killed Goliath. Prior to that, no one really knew of him. And so they were from two different aspects of life, but their hearts knitted together, which shows me that you don't have to be of the same status, same culture, same wealth, same whatever, for a heart to knit together with another friend and to have friendship like that. And we're not told everything they did as young men and all that they went through, but we certainly know that they would have spent a lot of time with each other, because we read in verse 2, "And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house." And so he ate at the king's table, lived in the palace, and they became best of friends and grew up together. They became warriors together. But with most friendships, usually something happens to see how good a friend you really are. And this is another thing that we learn about being a good friend. Good friends don't get jealous of others, each other. Good friends don't get jealous of their friends. We know that probably the worst scenario happened for these two friends. We know that because of the sin of Saul, God said that he was going to remove the kingdom from him and give it to somebody else. And so now Jonathan is faced with this understanding that he's no longer going to be king. I think that would be tough in itself. I don't know how sad he felt, but I could imagine him as friends with David lying in the fields, looking up at the stars before this, saying to David, "You know, when I become king, I'm going to do things different to Dad. I'm going to serve God and I'm not going to make the same mistakes." I could imagine Jonathan having all these plans about how he was going to be a better king than his father. But now he loses it all. But not only that, he loses it to his best friend, David. I think that would have tested his friendship beyond anything else. This thing that he'd been waiting for and looking forward to, he lost, and now his best friend is going to take his place. If that's going to raise jealousy, you know, nothing else would. That didn't. And we see here that this man wasn't jealous. And that's the sign of a very good friend. Usually the biggest problem with friendships is jealousy. It causes more problems amongst friends than anything else. And the reasons for being jealous is limitless. It could be just that someone gets to buy something that you've always wanted to buy, and all of a sudden you're jealous. could be that someone gets asked to be in a ministry that you've always wanted to be in, and they get used and you don't. Ladies, it could be that someone falls pregnant and you don't. Could be that one family gets invited to another person's family for a meal that you haven't been invited. Or the sin of all sins, your friend actually goes out and has a coffee with somebody else, and you aren't invited. That's terrible, isn't it? But if you get jealous over something like that, compare that to Jonathan losing the kinship to David. It makes you realize how little a friend you might be to that person you call friend. And it's sin. You know, we know that King Saul loved having David around when it suited him. Oh, David was wonderful when he was enjoying the benefits of having David around. But once others started to notice David more than Saul, then he didn't want him around at all. Jealousy raged within. And the true condition of his heart, that selfish, jealous heart, arose, and he no longer wanted David around. In fact, he was happy to kill him to make sure he's not around. And often we can say that someone is our friend and we love being around them while they are of benefit to us in some way. But if that person begins to get noticed by others and others want to be their friend as well, and we have to share them, all of a sudden we get jealous. Or if they enjoy some benefits in life that we have don't get to have, then there's jealousy, and then the true state of your heart is revealed. And if there is jealousy there, it shows that that friendship is more of a selfish friendship rather than a true loving friendship that Christ wants you to have. Can I ask you, with the people that you call your friends, do you act more like Saul or like Jonathan? Are you able to rejoice in their happiness, or do you get jealous? Are you happy to share them with others, or do you get jealous? You know, Jonathan was willing to let his friend become king. That's how great a friend he was. Real friends don't get jealous. Or if they see that jealousy within them, they confess it as sin and they don't allow it to affect their friendship. So that's the next thing. If you're a good friend, you'll sharpen those you spend time with and you will not be jealous. Also, a real friend helps in times of need. And I can't just turn to one verse for this, because you've got to read the whole story of Jonathan and David for this. But when Jonathan knew that his father was out to kill David, he could have thought, well, I'll just see what happens. If he gets him, he gets him. You know, I just don't want to get involved. All right? But that wasn't. He saw his friend in need, and he helped him, countless times, but many times. Times he went and spoke to his father and said, "Father, you can't be acting like this towards David. He doesn't deserve it." Other times he heard how his father had planned to kill him, and so he helped David escape. Other times he warned him of danger. He even wept with David when he was sad going through these times. He helped his friend when he was in trouble. How do you act when your friends need help? When they're upset and sad, do you see if they're okay? Try and cheer them up. If you hear that they're being picked on by others, do you stand up for them and speak well of them? If they're sick, now don't ring me today, you don't need to, but do you ring them and see how they are? All right. When you know that they're struggling with something, do you want to be there in any way you can? That's a true friend. Sometimes we can just have friends of convenience. Friends when they can help us, but if they're struggling, they'll get through it. It's a two-sided goes two ways. Also, we see that a real friend speaks well of you. In chapter 19, verse 4, Jonathan went to his father to try and speak on behalf of David. And we read this in 1 Samuel 19, verse 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee wood very good. I find that very refreshing. That's the sign of a good friend, that he spoke well or good of David, his friend. And that's a sign of a good friend where you're willing to speak well of others. You know, the reality is, we can all do the same. I could think of any one of you here, and I could think of good things about you, and I can think of bad things about you. We all have our good and bad points. When you're around others, do you choose to highlight people's good points or choose to highlight their negative points? Which one do you want to shine on, you know, highlight about a person? People can say that they're friends when they're face to face, but you know how good a friend truly is by what they say of you when you're not around. That's the sign of a good friend. And it's very refreshing when you know that someone has spoken well of you even when you're not around. You know, the reality is, I know I've said it here before, that everyone seems normal until you get to know them. All right? Once you get to know someone well enough, you know that we're all got our little quirks. We like to, who knows what, butter our bread a really weird way, or we like to, I'm not even going to mention things just in case you might think I'm mentioning you, but we're all weird in our own little way. It's just we like hanging around people who are weird like us, all right? That's where the good friends, when you click, you're weird just like me. But when you know, when you get close to someone, you discover those little weird things about their character, do you then go and make fun of them and highlight those things when they're not around to other people? Or do you talk about the positive things that you know about that person? That's a real friend. Do you speak well? Praise? Make someone look good in the sight of others? Or are you only nice when you're around them? Well, it's refreshing that Jonathan was someone who spake well of his friend. And then just lastly, a real friend speaks the truth in love. And this is one that we find hard to do and hard to take. You know, things got very bad between Saul and David to the point where David sent Jonathan to his father and said, just find out once and for all if there's any hope of him forgiving me and things going back to normal. And so Jonathan went off and he soon discovered that there is no way that his father was going to change. And so they had a deal made out in regards to firing arrows and to know if it was going to be good news or bad news. And I imagine that Jonathan went down to that field where David was hiding, knowing that how he had to fire those arrows was going to bring sorrow to him. He could have quite easily, if I just fire him over where it's good news, he'll at least be happy for a little while, until Dad gets him, all right? But instead, I'll fire the arrows where it's the truth, so he knows the reality of what's happening. And he did that. And we see that the news did break David's heart. If you look at chapter 20 and verse 41 and 42... Now, this is a little bit creepy probably for us men to read this, but this shows the love between these two men in an absolute pure way. But it says in 41, and as soon as the lad had gone, David arose out of a a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. That wasn't the news that David wanted to hear, and it certainly wasn't the news that Jonathan wanted to deliver. But he told him the truth because he loved his friend, and he knew that's what he needed to hear. Book of Proverbs says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Sometimes a good friend is going to have to fire arrows at you, and they're not going to be, it's not going to be happy. They're going to have to say things to you, warn you of things, remind you of things that you're not going to really enjoy. But if it's a true friend, they'll do that because they know ultimately that's what's going to help you the most. And I know that I've had to go to friends, share with them things that I know I have been shaking in my boots to say, because I knew it wasn't what they're going to want to hear. You know, at times you have to be willing to even lose your friendship and speak the truth in love. That's the sign of a true friend. If you have had a friend to come to you like that, cherish them. They are real friends. And be that type of friend as well. When you see someone that is drifting from the Lord, who is truly going the wrong direction, be a good friend and go and talk to them and warn them of the disaster that lays ahead. A not so good friend will just stay quiet and happy to just let the person go their way. So, what sort of friend are you? Do you sharpen those who you call friends or blunt them? Do you get jealous or do you rejoice? Do you help them or leave them alone in times of need? Do you speak well of them or speak ill of them? Speak the truth or remain quiet? This should be the place where we discover real friends. That's what Christ commanded. If you have to go to a club or a soccer club or the whatever club to find friends, there's something very wrong with us. And I'll tell you what it is. It is that Christ is not ruling our life, and we're allowing the flesh to do it. And he's not happy with us when we're like that. Can I encourage you? Work on being a good friend, and be wise with the company you keep as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be a reflection of that friend to one another. Show us where we're falling short. And Lord, give us the willingness and the humility to change, so that, Father, we may bring honor to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.